Blog Talk Radio.
When you have a dream, it doesn't often come at you screaming in your face. Dreams always come from behind you, not right between your eyes. It sneaks up on you. Sometimes a dream almost whispers, it never shouts. Very hard to hear. So you have to, every day of your lives, be ready to hear what whispers in your ear. It very rarely shouts.
That moment in time was one of the darkest moments I've had in my whole life. My motivation was out the door, like I just wanted to give up.
I need you to be who you're supposed to be. Don't let nobody stop you from being who you're supposed to be. Don't nobody out-talk you. Don't let nobody tell you the doors are shut. Don't let nobody tell you that opportunities don't exist. Don't let nobody tell you that. I need you to be who you're supposed to be, because when you are who you're supposed to be, you're superhuman.
I don't want to delude you because this is a career-ending injury.
Listen to me. You got fear and you got faith. And I've decided not to walk in fear, but to walk in faith. There's greatness in you. Are you hearing me? There's greatness in you. And you mean to tell me you're never going to reach your full potential? You mean to tell me you're never going to be what you've been called to be? That you're not going to do what you've been called to do because you are afraid? Something don't come. They just not going to come to you because you want it as bad as you want to breathe. You got to put up the deuce, and you got to be willing to fight that thing out. They're not giving out success, but you can earn it. You can take it. I need you to take it. Don't let the distractions distract you.
I would have never started skateboarding.
So whatever you do, man, don't give up. Don't quit. Now listen to me closely. Just because you failed doesn't make you a failure. And when life hits you, you got to keep going. Just don't quit.
In order to achieve greatness, you have to go through a lot of pain. You definitely have setbacks, but in order to achieve that success, you have to push through.
If you hit an oak tree 1,000 times in 1,000 different spots, what's going to happen? Absolutely nothing. But if you hit an oak tree 1,000 times in the exact same spot, you know what's going to happen? You're going to bring it down. You're going to do the impossible. You're not only a special person created at a special time, you got something special inside of you.
You have to believe that you can do something that nobody else has done. And somehow that concept has to become reality.
You got greatness all inside of you, but your problem is you are scaredy cat. You soft. And every time it get hard, you quit and you give up. And I'm telling you, if you would be willing to fight your way through it, if you would be willing to fight your way through this battle, fight your way through cancer, fight your way through that academic struggle, fight your way through divorce, fight your way through it. If it was easy, everybody would do it. You gotta fight your way through it. You gotta fight the fear, because guess what? Fear ain't bigger than you. If you're gonna win the fight of your life, you can't be afraid to fight.
What exactly was hurting on your body?
I think my foot's broken and my shoulder and my back. Everything feels pretty broke right now. The doctor tried to get me to not skate, and I basically told him he's going to have to fight me.
Are you going to be able to take your fourth and fifth run?
I'm taking every run.
How are you able to muster up the strength to even come back out here and then take another run?
I don't know what it is that's inside me, but it's there's a lot of determination. It's a fire that just keeps burning.
Fear, you are not going to stop me. I got too far. I've come too far to give up now. You gotta believe in yourself, you gotta believe in your dream, you gotta believe one day it's gonna be your moment. One day you gonna own the moment. Listen to me, impossible is just a big word thrown around by small men.
Many of you right now, life got you up against the rope. You can't give up, you can't give in. Listen to me, if it was easy, everybody would do it.
You've gotten this far. If you was going to quit, you should have quit a long time ago. You got too far. You've come too far to quit now. Show me that nothing is impossible.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Pain is temporary. It may last for a minute, or an hour, or a day, or even a year. But eventually, it will subside, and something else will take its place. If I quit, however, it will last forever.
The margin for error is so small. I mean, one half a step too late or too early, you don't quite make it. One half second too slow, too fast, you don't quite catch it. The inches we need are everywhere around us. They're in every break of the game, every minute, every second.
You got a dream, you got to protect it. People can't do something themselves. They want to tell you you can't. Want something, go get it. Period.
Don't be afraid to fail. You can't always win, but don't be afraid of making decisions.
You have to believe that something different can happen.
He who says he can and he who says he can't are both usually right.
That most of you say you want to be successful, but you don't want it bad. You just kind of want it. You don't want it badder than you want a party. You don't want it as much as you want to be cool. Most of you don't want success as much as you want to sleep.
Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us.
Deep down, ask yourselves, who do you want to be? Figuring out for yourselves what makes you happy, no matter how crazy it may sound to the people.
Make a choice, right? You just decide what it's going to be, who you're going to be, how you're going to do it. Just decide.
Why not? Why can't I be the MVP of the league? Why can't I be the best player in the league? Why can't I do that?
said to the kid, it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. Get up.
Get up. And don't ever give up.
We can stay here, get the shit kicked out of us, or we can fight our way back into the light. We can climb out of hell. One inch at a time. To be able at any moment to sacrifice what you are for what you will become. Most of you won't be successful because when you're studying and you get tired, you quit. I don't do well in math. You're right. You ain't never studied. I'm not good in writing because you have never written before.
Talent you have naturally. Skill is only developed by hours and hours and hours of beating on your craft.
If you are not making someone else's life better, then you're wasting your time.
Don't cry to give up. Try to keep going. Don't cry to quit. You already in pain. You already hurt. Get a reward from it.
Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hit and not point the finger saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that.
Because every day is a new day. Every moment is a new moment. So now you got to go out and show them that I'm a different creature. Now.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
The 17th chapter of St. Luke, it is written, the kingdom of God is within man, not one man nor a group of men, but in all men, in you. You, the people, have the power to create machines, the power to create happiness. You, the people, have the power to make this life free and beautiful, to make this life a wonderful adventure.
Now, what are you going to do?
Save the Republic. Our fathers appealed to heaven. What did heaven do? Heaven heard. Heaven heard. Our fathers said they would treat all men equal. When they did not, heaven saw. Heaven saw. Our fathers fought each other and paid a great price. Father Abe kept the Union, but not the Republic. We forgot the Republic and placed our trust in man and suffer oppression. We appealed to heaven. What did heaven do? Heaven heard. Heaven heard. God save the Republic.
Deposit Photos Music.
All right, everybody, Joseph Gibson podcasting here, understanding the times in which we live today. There, that should be the naysayers off their feet. What do you think? They'll probably just still come out and attack, do what they do. So just say hello to some of my supporters out there. I got a couple out there. I got one up there in New York, not mentioning any names, sent me a letter in the mail, and, of course, contributed to the show, so I appreciate that. Thank you, and thanks for the emails and the conversation. Some people there I do stay in touch with behind the scenes of the show, and you know, supporters, and like I said, they remain anonymous, but some people want to support this podcast and help out and contribute and do the right thing, so that's good. Of course, you have all, of course, others out there that don't want me on the air, or the people that want to mimic the show or make fun of it. We try to keep them blocked as possible now, keep them off the podcast due to the waste of time. You know, I think that was demonstrated in the intro here tonight. You know, if you're not helping somebody, then you're just wasting your time. You know, because you're not doing anything productive that's going to help someone else succeed in life. I mean, what makes people want to put others down? I know immaturity, being immature, you know. I mean, you know, when you're a kid or whatever. I remember when I was a kid in school, I was a wise guy, you know, troublemaker, always getting into trouble, you know. But that kids. Kids make mistakes. But when you have grown adults that are out there in society doing what they're doing, putting people down or attacking people just because of what they look like or who they are or whatnot, that's just totally absurd and disgusting. And in a civilized society that we have today, it should not be tolerated. And a lot of this is created, the narrative is created, the division is created by the people who want to control us, the globalist elite, the people who control the bartering systems. You know, and I was having a conversation with one guest the other night, and, you know, if the political office was ever in my favor, the first thing I would do is eliminate a majority of the statutory laws that are just totally convoluted nonsense. And then the second thing I would do is the ones that remain on the books, clarify them better. Because if you read some of the statutes or UCC codes or rules of civil procedure or practice manuals, they double talk, and they take one sentence and stretch it out to a paragraph that doesn't need to be in subsection this minus this subsection that this was repealed and this, and it's very difficult to figure out for someone who's not a good reader or someone who doesn't have good reading comprehension. So there's a sector of society out there that is lost, that can't play in the game, and that's wrong. I think everyone should have an equal playing field. I believe that there should be individual committees put together to oversight committees, not done so within the government like the Senate Judiciary Committee. That's a waste of time. But independent panels that are put together to supersede decisions by people that have too much authority, like judges. Judges have too much authority. You know, and people say, well, we got due process there. Yeah, but it goes to their buddies up the ladder. They all eat dinner together. No. It has to be independent and beyond the scope and, I guess you'd say, constraints of they can't be connected any. You know, there has to be separation of powers, like the Constitution, separation of the power. You know, totally different, opposite. Not to always disagree, but to oversee and overrule by the majority opinion. But then again, we're in a republic, so the minority always has to have the say. Because if the minority doesn't have the say, if we don't have a Republican form of government, we have the people, the minority, ever suffrage the rights of what we're supposed to care about? You know, the founders understood this very clearly, but after they died off, got old. You look at history; the system, the courts took over, and opinions started becoming law, and the Supreme Court started deciding cases, and all of a sudden that became the law of the land. That's not what the Supreme Court is there for. It should not never decide. It should only decide that particular case, and it should only be case law. It was supposed to be to where it would be an opinion of the higher court, but and then this way here, if a lower court judge disagreed with it, then you know it would have to have good constitutional reason to disagree. Now, and that's not how it's done today. But they did have a huge decision there, and it's shockingly 9-0 Supreme Court there. Something about immigration. I don't know too much about it. I heard about it though. The immigration about the if anyone knows about this immigration, where the Supreme Court voted. I guess basically that they can't sustain citizenship, I guess, or can't be here. It has something to do with citizenship. I don't know. I heard about it. I didn't get a chance to look into it because I've been busy. But if anyone knows about that, that'd be great to talk about. That's a victory, I guess, for the border crisis, because we have to have borders. We have to have secure borders, because otherwise we have no sovereign country. We have nothing. There's no. I mean, if you have your backyard and your front yard, you have no borders around your yard, and you don't know where your yard ends. What is really your yard? You know, what is your property? So that means anyone can stake claim to it, and that's not what life is about on this planet. It's just the way it goes. That's the, you know, we're not going to change that. And the nations that have been conquered, that are conquered, is you know, it's wars are going to happen. We know that, but we have to have individual sovereignty. And that's being threatened with the globalist agenda, you know, and that's how they're going to do it, through the monetary system, the economic collapse that where everyone's – look what they did with the COVID thing that they're still doing. And total insanity. Now they're saying that There's an emergency with people that have received vaccinations that are children. It's inflaming the heart. It's called, you know, this is it. Well, we warned you not to take the vaccination. Don't do it. You know, I told stories on here, too, about a friend of mine that was at the gym, 88 years old, working out. Guy was in better shape than me, you know. Well, he was a dummy. He decided to go get a vaccination. Got sick. 3 days later, dead. Here's a guy who probably could have lived another 10 years. Probably could have been freaking the front page of Time magazine or something. You know, the guy was huge. I mean, he was, he wasn't a big man, but he was about 5'9". But he was in good shape at 88 years old. You know, working out quick. He was fast. And he wasn't sore every day. I mean, he walked normal, straight upright. I mean, the guy took care of himself. He obviously had good genes, but he was a weightlifter. You know, and I always tell people, weightlifting is the key to keeping your bone structure, keeping your muscle mass, you know, in shape for when you get older, because if it dwindles away, your muscle, and then the muscle, you know, and then the bones get affected, you fall down, you break a hip, and that's it, it's all over. You know, people don't listen. Well, I'm active, I jog, I walk, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. That's not the same thing. You have to tear the muscle. You have to tear it, and it has to feel sore, and then, because a muscle has memory, and then it's going to rebuild itself. And you have to have the proteins and the amino acids to rebuild it. And at any age, you could start. You could start at 50. You could start at 70. You know, it's working out. And I've been working out all on and off all my life. And, you know, so that's why it's easy for me. I mean, 4 years ago, I swelled up to 265 pounds. I was a blimp. You know, and my knees started hurting. I'm like, oh, to hell with this. And I got back into shape. I'm now down to 192 and bench pressing 300 pounds and, you know, curling. And if I don't work out, I feel sick, actually. You know, so I have to work out. And my blood pressure was skyrocketing there, too. Well, started working out, but blood pressure is back to normal, you know, back to normal. And I eat whatever I want now. And I'm starting to watch a little bit more what I eat, but I start, you know, I pretty much can eat whatever I want, and I don't. You know, I stay in shape because I'm working out at the gym. You know, that repetitive pyramid sets, heavyweight to lightweight and then lightweight to heavyweight. You know, the muscle is amazing because you shock it and you tear it. And if you just do the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over, it doesn't do anything for you. It's like, well, you know, if I stayed to the same workout routine and then switch, I would just stay the same. You know, I'd eventually start getting smaller. But I'm right now I'm in pretty good shape. So thankfully, because of working out, going to the gym, and hitting heavy bag and whatnot, and I don't go out running like these other people running down the sidewalk and everything. I don't think that does anything for you, really. I mean, look at these basketball players. They run back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, all these games and whatnot. And, you know, they're 65 years old, they still die of a heart attack. So I don't think that has anything to do with it. And you know, basketball players never really have much muscle mass, so. You know, they don't work out, really. So, you know, they're just running. So, you know, I don't think running really helps you. I mean, everyone's different. Everybody's body's different. Their makeup is different. And it's what they, I guess you could say, works for them. But what I have seen, like I said, to go back, not to carry on too much about the subject, but from what I've seen through my experience, through everybody, weightlifting is what will sustain your body when you're 75 years old and you want to pick up that dresser and move it to the other side of the room, you know, or you want to get out, you know, you got to change that car tire and not break your back trying to do it, you know. So that's, I recommend, you know, working out, going to the gym at least 3 times a week if you can, an hour. You spend, listen, I spend sometimes 25 minutes there. It's not how long you spend at the gym. It's what you do there while you're there. You know, you're not there to socialize. You're not there to stare at your phone. You know, you go there and you use the equipment and you work out, get a good sweat, and then you're out, you know. So, and it's a good adrenaline rush, you know. And it keeps you alert. And so those are people out there that are getting older. That's what I would recommend, you know. So you just can't eat healthy and expect everything to be okay. So, but back to the COVID thing there, that's amazing because, I have a feeling that in the next 3 or 4 years we're going to see a catastrophe with this COVID thing. People are going to really start having some health issues. And They'll probably blame it on something else because we have what? They're saying that we have a memory and attention span that only lasts for 7 to 10 days. Anything more than 10 days ago, we can't remember. We don't remember, we don't talk about, and we just forget about it, and we don't address the issues. They become convoluted, and the truth gets lost. I think that's pretty much true. I mean, how many of you can remember what happened 10 days ago or more than 10 days ago and recite it word for word? Remember what you did that during that time and what has happened. You know, testimony. Give your testimony to history. You know, I mean, I used to talk to people when I was a kid on a dairy farm out there in Wisconsin, and, you know, this one guy was 96 years old. His wife was 92. And then another one was, they were the oldest, and then the rest of them were in their 70s. But this is 1985. You know, you figure a guy's 96 years old, let's say 100 for math purposes, I'm not too good at math. You know, 1985, that means he was 1885. This guy was 15 years old, turn of the century. He had stories to tell, and I used to listen to him, you know, and on things, on how things were, farming. And he told me, he says, farms are going to be the thing of the past. If you want to go out and make money and you like this type of lifestyle, you need to become a grass cutter or, you know, landscaper. And that's what's going to be the big industry out there. And if you notice, landscaping 30 years ago was pretty much non-existent. I mean, you know, there wasn't. Now you look at them, they're everywhere. Every city, every town has their landscaping crews. And that's where you make your money. It's a service. People don't have the time to take care of their own property because they're too busy working. So they have to hire somebody to do it. Or people are just lazy and they don't want to do it. So that was a good service to get into, you know, and painting, you know, plumbing. And then electrical work, that's different because, you know, that's really, really dangerous and you have to go to school for that and really know what you're doing. And I believe that's where regulation is good because, you know, you don't want a guy who's smoking crack to come wire your house. I mean, common sense. You know, that's where government can actually work, or individual government within the community or counties can work, you know, or a guy that's flying an airplane or a jet. You don't want him up there smoking a crack pipe or shooting up a dope or shooting a needle into his arm, right? So, you know, drug testing, drug, you know, you see things like that. But you see, what will happen is the politicians will create a law, and they'll make it a blanket statement, and everybody will have to do it. And the people that, you know, who cares what they do on the side? Their rights are being violated, and, you know, we don't need to get involved in their lives. And then it screws up. What it does is it clogs up the system, you know, because we can't individualize everything. Same thing with inmates in prison. We can go case by case and individualize everybody because everyone's their own person and release probably 90% of these guys that are behind bars and women. They don't belong in there. They don't belong. But then again, we release them. What are they going to do? You know, you have to have something of a program or some sort of system that generates a trade, because there's some people that grow up and they never learned anything. They never were able to go to school, and they were just a product of their environment. And then this is where people say, well, they're black people, and they're Hispanic, and they're white, you know, and they start that argument. Listen, if you're in a poor, there's poor people from every culture, every race, and this is the way. Now, if it happens to be more of one another in a city, then that's the way it is. Now, you know, that's it. But to blame and start pointing fingers, that's not going to get anybody anywhere. Let's fix the problem. Fix the damn problem, and then the people that don't want to get off their rear end and fix themselves and themselves, we got a place for you out of the country. No, we can't do forced deportations, but I'll tell you what, you know, there's a lot of people out there that don't belong in America. You know, if you don't love your country and you don't, and you just don't like it, and you don't like your land or you hate your community, you know, you either can leave or change it. You know, change it for what you believe it to be. That's what America's all about. As long as you're not hurting someone else or inflicting harm or violating someone's rights or offending them, then it's common sense, common law, everything will be okay. But when you look at this logically and common sense-wise, like as far as a lawmaker or a state legislator view that have the opportunity to write or sponsor these legislative pieces, they have the power, because they're elected by their people in their district, to write this stuff, and it affects statewide. And they have this opportunity to create things that are good, that will help, and that's what government can do. But I don't think government should be in our individual lives every single day. But I think right now it has to be, because we have to dissect all the crap that all these people years ago have done to us. and all the tyrannical policies and laws and statutes and corruption and watered down nonsense and backroom deals and, hey, wink, 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 and a backroom secret there, and this guy gets screwed and that guy walks. No, that's got to stop. It's got to stop. You got to clean it up. And there's been a lot of leaders throughout the years that have tried, and we know what happened to them. JFK, for one, bang, you know. So, you know, when you get to that type of position and you're that high up, you got a target on your back. I mean, I don't know why he drove around in a freaking convertible doing the things he was talking about. I mean, you got to be, you know, target on your head there, buddy. You know, I wouldn't. I would have been, you know, so. But same thing with Ronald Reagan. Remember, you know, when he got shot. Same thing, you know, he's inquiring about the gold at Fort Knox, the Grace Commission there. You know, you're really, really barking up the wrong tree. You know, so you got to be careful. Protect yourself. Because there's a lot of bad out there and evil out there. But evil can be rooted out. It can be. And I know it's hard today because especially with these liberals and these Democrats, they just don't see. They can't see. They don't hear, and they just won't listen, period. And they're beyond reason. How do you handle people like that? How do you handle that type of person in your society or as a leader? What do you do? People say, well, you shouldn't be handling anybody anyway if you're talking about freedom. Well, listen, if they're destroying this country, and that's their agenda because they hate this country, and they're communist, Marxist dirtbags, that is sedition. That is contempt of Constitution, and that should be a very, very important crime that we punish. Not the January 6th rioters. I don't even like saying that, rioters, because they weren't rioting. You know, did a couple of them act like idiots? So what? I think this, I'm going to put this out there, and I'm going to open up the phone line, 657-383-0616, press number one. I think this could really, really have changed for the better if Donald Trump, because everyone worships him so much, if Donald Trump would have got off that podium after giving his speech and walked with those protesters to the Capitol, I believe the peace would have been kept. I believe things would have gotten done, because what could they have done? He could have then also ordered up the Marine Corps, the United States Army, and had them do security. You know, and we know there were crimes being committed inside there by the many, many politicians that were in there. They were committing crimes, and we know they commit crimes today. And Trump had the power, the people behind him. He had such a large base, more than any other time in history, for change, that a country wasn't divided the way it was. Not, you know, I mean, we were split down the middle, but I'm saying he had the people, enough people. And he had the armed forces support. He had the police department support. He had all the support he needed to go and do what he was supposed to do and put the stuff out there for public record, for people to see, to be transparent, and fix and restore our republic. He had the power. Now he's sitting at some shelter down there in Florida, and, you know, he's making some appearances. He was in North Carolina last weekend, and, you know, he's... What's he going to do now? They're never going to let him back in there again. They will never allow that again. And he's got supposedly a social media platform open right now, or starting one, and you can't even access it. The servers won't even connect to it. You're not getting anywhere. They're not going to let that man speak. He's done. He might as well pack it in. Maybe his son will run for office. Maybe they're young. They can get a base going. But Trump, I just don't foresee it. They're saying August he's coming back in some shape or form or whatnot. I don't know how true that is. I heard rumors. Something big is going to happen supposedly in August. That's what the prediction is, or September. So there's going to be some massive change. I heard martial law a couple times last year. So why would they do that? Could there be a flag, something happening? I don't know. I will assure you I don't have any part of it, but I just listen and try to analyze and then tell you. So that's all I can do, because, and that's still protected, I think, under the Constitution. I don't know. Nowadays, who knows anymore? I mean, you could be, your house could be flash-banged and you carted off and kidnapped and thrown in a concrete box and put there with no due process so fast your head would spin. So we know that. We are living in a tyrannical system right now, but it's so important for everybody to get involved. Get involved now, because tomorrow is too late. So press the number one if you want to speak here tonight and you have an opinion or something to say. I've got, let's see, I've got one here, right here. It's a 336 number. I never see 336s because that's my area. And then I've got a couple private callers. So let's see here. Let's go with the 336 first. Go ahead. I'm going to unmute you here. Let's see here. Go ahead, 336. Come on. Going once. Going twice. Okay, I'll leave your mic open if you decide to jump in. You may have gone to the bathroom or done something. I know my intro was a little bit long. Let's go with my private caller here. Hopefully it's my friend there. Hopefully it is, because I kind of like him when he's good conversation pieces. So go ahead, private caller.
Depends on which one it is.
Oh, it's you. It was you. It was you. How you doing?
Okay. Well, in that case, I'm glad to hear that you think highly of me. Thanks for taking my call and all that. Yeah, I found your exposition about the president's possible actions with regard to the election fraud, and you know I am of absolute certainty that the election was stolen from our president. You know that. You know I believe it.
Yeah.
However, yes. I don't think his authority under the Insurrection Act is quite that expansive, just to be able to deploy, certainly, troops of the Army and Air Force. Now, the Marines are forbidden. Marines in the Navy Department are forbidden from action by regulation, and that is something that the president could maybe get around. But the Army and the Air Force are not allowed in civil law unless there is a declaration of martial law or to enforce federal law under Article 4. So,
well, don't
I just
you
think
that would apply
to that?
Election fraud? That would be a great reason to have brought them in, and they wouldn't be there to interject. They would just be there to supervise, you know?
Hey, under my Constitution, he would have the authority to round up every damn Democrat in the country and put him in a concentration camp. But unfortunately, we don't live under Sarge's Constitution. We do live under the United States Constitution. And I think his authority involving federal elections is limited in that respect. But there is no doubt that if he had a functioning attorney general, which he didn't, the attorney general could have taken some actions, at least after the election, to ensure the integrity of the election polls under existing federal law once the fraud came to light. The problem is none of it was done.
I know.
That's
the
problem. I don't think we had to go quite so far as the field to deploy the armed forces. I think existing law would have been adequate if we had a resolute attorney general, which we didn't.
True. And also that we had enough people there at the D.C. Capitol. There was more than enough there to sequester those politicians at least and make a citizen's arrest, right?
It depends on the law in the state. Yeah, I suppose citizens could have made an arrest, but that's going out on a limb. But it would seem to me as if there could have been action by the Department of Justice under existing federal law to at least ensure a presence of observation, if nothing else, over this electoral system. And you see now, I don't know if you've seen it or not, but there's a gentleman who has posted on a link, a Facebook post supposedly been put out by Ruby Freeman. And if it's true, it is just startling. Have you seen
it? What is it? What is it? I didn't see it.
You know who Ruby Freeman is, right?
No, actually, I don't actually. Well, I probably do. I'm just very bad with names. But go ahead.
Ruby
please,
Freeman
tell me.
Is a mother part of the mother-daughter duo that contributed to a lot of the election shenanigans on election night.
Okay. Now it's ringing a bell. Okay.
Do you remember now?
Yes.
Okay.
But what's going on with that, though?
Well, there was a gentleman there. Let me see if I can pull this up for you and read what he has said that they found on her Facebook post. Now, listen to what this says, because it's really... I mean, when I first heard it, I said, oh, man, this has got to be a fake. until I heard the guy read it, and he sounds sincere. Let me read the text of it to you. Ruby Freeman, okay. Georgia. I posted this on my Facebook page and wanted to share it with the Instagram community. I am so proud of my baby. My baby would be her daughter, who was the supervisor of the Fulton County elections on that night. Because today we did something that changed history, and we decided we will not be silent and allow evil to control this country. I was shocked, hurt, and deeply upset to see how many people support evil, racism, and ignorance while counting many ballots for Donald Trump. I was almost in tears seeing how very few people wanted to support a black woman become the first female vice president or an excellent man named Joe Biden while counting the ballots. Thank God my baby had a plan, and today we put that plan in action after those Trump-supporting and Fox News, though they won, and left the building. That's what it says. I'm reading it as it's written. My baby knew how racist Georgia was, and we knew how the vote was going to go, so we resorted to Plan B, and now you see the results of my brilliant baby. Joe Biden is now the winner, and I'm looking at all of Georgia with a side eye because I know for a fact that Georgia voted for Trump by the largest numbers, and if we didn't do what we did, he would have won Georgia. I've seen and I noticed many black names who voted for Donald Trump, and that really bothers me because y'all the reason he won. My baby told me it's going to be our own community who's going to make Donald Trump win, and she was right because Donald Trump won, and it's very sad. I was nervous about Plan B, but I'm glad we did it because it saved the country, and I will pray for forgiveness. If people found out what me and my baby did, we could be in a lot of trouble and possibly jail, so I would like to ask everyone to delete all the pictures, videos, and live streams of me and the special ballots. Now,
wow.
I can include the video of this pastor, this black pastor, who was reading this Facebook page he says he obtained. I'll give you the link, put the link in the chat room if you want to see it and make the judgment for yourself. I'm still reserving judgment this time, but I know the election was stolen in Georgia even without this. If this is true, however, is no doubt, it is a compelling bit of information and evidence.
Okay.
But
well, I got another one. I got one on the same topic.
I'm reserving judgment on Joe. I don't want to get burned saying something true that I don't. But look,
well,
I'm
you put it
put
in there, but
in
I'll tell you what. While you put,
I put it in the chat room. You can go take a look at it. Make your own judgment. Make
I
up
will.
Your own mind. I'm not gonna try to direct you at any way. But there's
no, well,
the.
I'll tell you what. Why do I do that? I got one on the same topic here with Mike Lindell. Did you see that one? The Supreme Court will rule absolutely 9-0, and they're talking about the
that's
the
one
the,
I told you about. That's the one I told you about. And I said, after looking at that gentleman who told us about the packet captures, I'm absolutely convinced that he captured that in real time, and it shows the destination of the attacks and where they were launched from down to the grid coordinates to within 400 meters, or the latitude and longitude to within 400 meters.
Wow. Wow. I know. I didn't see the video.
And the number of votes that were changed in each attack, which coincide almost precisely with the vote being stopped and the vote spikes that we saw that were unexplained and anomalous.
Wow. Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to play that video. I'll play this video, and I'll check out the one you put.
And you've seen those audios of the people sending delegates to the Maricopa County voting to look at what's going on there, who are going to go back to their states and make suggestions based on the audits in Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Ohio, I believe.
Yeah, well, I'll play this one real quick, and I'll check out yours. Yeah, all right, I'll play this one, and I'll check out yours, and we'll see what we got. We'll see what we got here. Let's see. I think there could be something coming on down the pike here in August. We'll see. Let me play this one and see how it comes out. Hopefully the audio will play good on this one, and I'll check yours out while this one's playing. And just everybody stay tight. And, of course, I see a couple other callers there, so just hang tight here for a few minutes, and I don't know who you are, but they're private callers, so I'm a little skeptical, unless it's John Doe. So, all right, let me play this one.
We're going to take back the Senate, take back the House, we're going to take back the White House, and sooner than you think.
The Democrats warned us Amy Klobuchar in my movie, even Kamala Harris. These guys warned us of these machines, that our election in 2020 was going to get hacked. They all warned us of it. They warned us of it, and then it gets hacked. Now, I'll tell you what, if the shoe was on the other foot and I had the evidence I have right now and it was Donald Trump the one, I would still be sounding the alarm, because if you never have a vote, a fair vote again in history, it's over for us. China wins. China wins. So when you take that into play there, right now it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or Republican, you got to be so concerned about our about what went on, and that we need to pull this election down and get rid of these machines for. I said it the other day. I said, you know, if it was flipped, then I'd be sounding the alarm. Hey, Donald Trump didn't win. China attacked our election. The only difference would be it would take 2 days for the election to get pulled down, maybe even faster. All the mainstream media would go, what? You mean they attacked our election? Let's pull it down. But you just showed the China president there. Let me tell you, China, by hacking in and taking our election, and what we're seeing in Washington right now, this, I have Democrat friends of mine, and they're going, we didn't vote for this. Of course you did. Nobody voted for communism coming into our country. Once the election gets pulled down, I really believe when the Supreme Court looks at this, it's not subjective evidence. So it's going to be 9-0, not 8-1, 7-2. It has to be 9-0, because this isn't subjective evidence. So they're going to pull this down. And now, but everybody needs to know there's a couple other things. One is, there were many down tickets, too, that were flipped, especially with, you know, senators like John James, both senators in Georgia, Jason Lewis from Minnesota, many congressmen, many. I mean, this wasn't just at the presidential level. And in our country, I want everybody to know this, there's no statute of limitations on this. Everyone says, come on, Mike, that's too hard to believe. Well, let me tell you something. Would you believe we'd be in this position a year and a half ago? No. But I will tell you this. Every election in the United States' history, if you find out there was a crime committed after the fact, or that the other person won in any way, let's say it was just a mistake, whatever it was, they put the person that won back in office, and if there was a crime committed by anyone else, they get arrested. You guys, we're in a race against time here. Our country's getting destroyed by communism, by taking away our First Amendment rights of free speech and attacking our country. And then we got this case we're going here. And everyone says, well, Mike, why don't you to them right now? Because this is a marketing thing, everybody. Everyone in this country's got to see the evidence, so we basically are trying
exactly.
It out here.
If you release something too quick, it has no effect. You got to build it up.
All right, let me play Sergeant here.
Hey, Joe.
And get that up here. Here we go.
Welcome to VCHH Playlist, everybody. How y'all doing tonight? God bless you all. Before I get started, make sure that you smash a like. Make sure that you subscribe to the channel. Make sure that you share this. You are going to want to share this. My last post, you guys probably remember, I was trying to be encouraging. I was talking about, people using the people that are against Trump right now are going to be the same people that possibly save his position, the ones that are trying to hurt it. And this is the video we're doing today. This video is called Miss Ruby in Atlanta, Georgia. Man, I know you guys have heard about it, at least some of it. She and her daughter were the ones that were on camera in Atlanta, where they were wheeling the boxes of votes out after they claimed to have a huge water main break, which ended up just being a toilet leak, and they sent everybody away, and they wheeled these boxes of votes, which they said suitcases, I just call it a box, and, they were counting votes after everybody left in the wee hours of the night, and mathematically, this was going on in real time. The votes were increasing in Fulton County and helping seat for Joe Biden. Anyhow, there was that video with her and her daughter. There was like four people in the room, her and her daughter. Her daughter was one with the braids who they kept talking about. And she's actually a supervisor. So the mother works for the daughter, which is a supervisor, which I thought was a conflict of interest. Moving right along. So Ms. Ruby is really reckless, and she did have a Facebook page and an Instagram page, and she would go live a lot. Now, she did a post on her page, and I'm going to read it. And a lot of people are trying to say, oh, you know, she had that was a fake account and this and that, because what happened is that she scrubbed the account. But you know how it is. People seen the account before it was scrubbed, so, you know, you can go, they went back and seen it, and I actually got photos from it that I actually posted on my Facebook. But, and her account, which had her pictures and things like that on it, went back to 2016. Could have been before that, but I know I had some pictures that were even from 2016. And they were definitely like pictures with her and, you know, things that she was praising her daughter for and this and that and the other. But anyway, I'm going to read this real quick. So it goes from Ruby Freeman _ Georgia. I posted this on my Facebook page and wanted to share it with the Instagram community. I am so proud of baby because today we did something that changed history, and we decided we will not be silent and allow evil to control this country. I was shocked, hurt, and deeply upset to see how many people support evil, racism, and ignorance while counting many ballots for Donald Trump. I was almost in tears seeing how very few people wanted to support a black woman become the first female vice president or a excellent man named Joe Biden while counting the ballots. Thank God my baby had a plan, and today we put that plan in action after those Trump supporting and Fox News, though they won and left the building. My baby knew how racist Georgia was, and we knew how the vote was going to go, so we resorted to Plan B. And now you see the results of my brilliant baby. Joe Biden is now the winner, and I'm looking at all of Georgia with a side eye because I know for a fact that Georgia voted for Trump by the largest numbers. And if we didn't do what we did, he would have won Georgia. I've seen and I noticed many black names who voted for Donald Trump. And that really bothers me because y'all the reason he won. My baby told me it's going to be our own community and who's going to make Donald Trump win. And she said, and she was right because Donald Trump won, and it's very sad. I was nervous about Plan B, but I'm glad we did it because it saved the country. And I will pray for forgiveness. If people find out what me and my baby did, we could be in a lot of trouble and possibly jail. So I would like to ask everyone to delete all the pictures, videos, and live streams of me and the special ballots. The ones we used are the special Joe Biden ballots that my baby created for us to win. They scanned excellent and increased Joe Biden numbers and helped him beat Donald Trump. Check this part out. I spoke to Dominion people, and they said Plan B worked all across the country. Special thanks to Stacey Abrams, Keisha Lance Bottoms, and Raphael Warnick. Don't worry, Raphael. You're going to beat that white B-I-T-C because we did it for you. And Joe Biden better give us a pardon for it. L-O-L. Wow, y'all, that is crazy. And at first, I got to be honest to you guys. Like, when I read it, I was like, man, this can't be her account. Like, you know, it just can't be. So, you know, I looked it up and did my due diligence. And, of course, there was a fake account made and with a different face on it. And all that basically saying that, you know, this was false and this and that, and this, that, and the other. Basically just denying that she had an account. And once again, like I said, through research, actually through, there was a guy that had a video called Hood Conservatives, and they really did the research, and I just went off basically what they had, and they did it on YouTube, by the way, so you can look that up. Just put in Ruby Freeman in YouTube, and go down the list, you'll see the Hood Conservatives, and the video's about like an hour and like, I don't know, 15 minutes, 30 minutes or so. If you do go watch it, start at 14 minutes, because that's when they start talking. So check that out, actually. So I followed their directions and went and found all of her information, and I'm just like, wow, this was really her account. Like, she really had an account. And then, like, I got to looking through a lot of her posts, because she posts a lot. And then she did a lot of lives, y'all, like, a lot. Like, honestly, Facebook is not that woman's friend. Seriously, like, you know, not only, you know, she was doing Facebook lives, walking into work, you know, showing, like, non-addressed, not filled out absentee ballots, you know, which none of this stuff was secure at all. I mean, she's walking past in the room. I mean, none of this stuff is secure. Like, crazy. Like, the stuff is just everywhere. Some boxes were open, this, that, and the third. And she asked the guy for some work, which he had to know she was filming him on live. Like, he had to know. He probably didn't care, but, I mean, you know, her daughter's running it pretty much, so, I mean, they probably just felt like we could do whatever. Anyhow, Facebook is her downfall. And, man, she implicated her daughter, and she implicated Dominion, basically, you know, stating that their plan B helped across the country. She implicated Joe Biden with the ballots, the special ballots. I mean, she's asking the people to delete the videos and this and that. You can't do that. It's already out there. Like, the server is the server. All they have to do now is just get a warrant, get indictments for this, and just go pull it. Like, there's no such thing as deleting, which I don't understand what people don't get. Ask Hillary. There's no such thing as deleting files. So, and then, you know, once I went back and I watched another video, and she was saying, like, she did another live, and she was like, she has a new supervisor. And she was like, guess who it is? She was kind of whispering. And she was like, it's my daughter. Like, you know, like, they, like, it's on now. Like, you know, we about to get over now, you know. And she talks about, like, even when you see her posts, when she posts things about, because they have, like, her daughter in pictures, like, in the, probably their local newspapers there and this and that. And she gives praise, and she's saying the same things, like, her baby, like, every time she speaks and how brilliant her baby is and this and that and, you know, how this, you know, high praise to, you know, her baby. And I was just like, well, this is, because I was like, she can't be that dumb. But, guys, she was that dumb. She really was. You know, so, man, the same ones with hate in their hearts that's trying to try as hard as they can to take you down. Well, the way God operates, he'll use the same people to free you. I said this on my last post. I've been through it. I've been to where the person who was doing the wrongdoing on me, that was the same person that pretty much saved me, and the reason why I got acquitted. The same. That's how God has used people. That's why you have to have faith. So I'm going to keep this short. This was only about Miss Ruby. But guys, make sure you subscribe. Make sure that you share. Make sure that you hit the like. Put something in the comments, guys. Let me know what you guys think. All right? So, man, I love you guys. This should just build your faith. I mean, like, she pretty much, to me, busted the whole case wide open. I mean, if they don't overturn from all this, I don't know what's up.
All right, Joseph Gibson, podcasting, understanding the times which we live today. All right,
Joe,
well, what do you think, Sergeant?
Joe, can I add a couple more facts in here now? I mean, like, you know, like,
yeah, sure.
I'll speak this post in just a minute, but I'd like to let you, apprise you of a couple more facts involved in this case. They got four people from Fulton County election officials who are under oath, but now this is according to One American News, that say they swore under oath that they handled between 20 and 30,000 fake ballots in Fulton County. They said that it was printed, some of the things were printed black on paper that was different than any other ballots. They said it was easy to recognize. And then they further go on to say that the daughter was supposed to have been depositioned on the 14th of this month, but the petitioners consented to postponing the depositions until after a hearing that's supposed to take place on the 21st. So that's just the factual matters involved with this case. She is due to be deposed, and so is the mother, both the daughter and the mother, as that's a matter of fact. And also, with regard to the post, I am wary of these things because I've been burned in the past. You know, someone maybe setting up a burner account and trolling it, but it is hard to delete these things unless the original poster. So it's got me back and forth. I'm not stating it conclusively one way or the other, but I do know that Freeman stated that this thing is bigger than all of us. She said that when she thought she was going to be in trouble, and everybody just kind of hit the snooze button on the damn thing.
Yeah, I agree.
But she did make that statement, I think, because she thought she was going to be under real scrutiny.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. And people don't understand how big this really could be also. They don't understand. But you're not hearing too much about it on the fake news, though, are you? You know?
Of course not.
Pretty rough. Doesn't that sound something a little bit,
if this man do a Donald Trump, man, they'd be pressing it up night and day. Anonymous. Look what they did with an anonymous whistleblower in a Ukrainian phone call. You didn't even have a name. We still don't know for sure who that anonymous whistleblower was, do we? We're pretty sure, but we're not absolutely sure.
Well, they say someone.
And they were
what about
wild
this Italian guy?
With it. Remember?
Yeah. Well, what about this Italian guy that was sitting there supposedly doing the whole thing from behind his desk or whatever in Italy?
Yeah. You mean the guy they used to get George Papadopoulos?
Yeah. You know, I mean, what's up
with that? Yeah, I remember that.
So,
yeah, I remember, sure. He was a contractor working for the CIA.
Yeah. Well, what do you think? Yeah, exactly. But what do you think, though, is going to be the outcome, or how long before we get this outcome that now everybody's hyped up about, and how is the rest of the country going to perceive it?
All right. Well, you got to remember now, we're now dealing with lawyers, depositions, and the legal process, and you know how easy it is to make it grind to a halt, especially if you got a judge that doesn't, you know, light a fire on everybody's booty to get them moving. So that really is hard to say. I can guarantee you that the other side wants to stall this as long as possible. Because you see what Merrick Garland just did today, didn't you? Did you hear about what that low-down bastard just did?
No.
In fact, an Arizona lawmaker, a woman named, she's Wendy Rogers. She used to be a fighter pilot. And she responded to Garland. Because Garland, the Department of Justice, warned state lawmakers in Arizona that if they proceeded to audit fraudulent elections, they will be targeted by the Biden administration.
Well, now, here it is. Well, it's right here, actually. I got the article right here, Sarge.
Huh?
I got the article right here. Biden Attorney General Merrick vowed on Friday that the Justice Department will fight back against Republican ID laws and post-election audits. As the Arizona election audit nears its end, the Biden administration could be showing signs of fear as the DOJ has now entered the game. We are scrutinizing new laws that seek to curb voter access, and where we see violations of federal law, we will not hesitate to act, Garland said. We will apply the same scrutiny to post-election audits to ensure they abide by federal statutory requirements to protect election records and avoid the intimidation of voters, he added.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, I got the video here.
Shame that Trump didn't have an attorney general this determined to enforce his agenda.
You just said that.
Damn,
you just said
didn't.
That. Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, Missy. They're scared. They know that they're on to something here. And Wendy Rogers told them that he better stay in his lane or they're going to lock him up.
Yeah.
Now, she's a state
legislator. What do you think of this one? Wendy Rogers. She says, you will not touch Arizona ballot
senator.
Or machine
said,
unless you want to spend time in Arizona prison.
We got a Department of Public Safety. You come down here and mess with our voting machines, you might just go to our jail. I mean, I'm telling you, I love hearing legislators talk like this.
Yeah.
I think this is very instructive, though. They're nervous. They know what this thing can reveal. At the very least, if not outright proving fraud, is going to cast doubt on the legitimacy of this administration even more than it already is. And God knows they don't want any more of that. So that's why they're getting rough and they're making such threats.
Yeah. Well, I got the video here for this where he talks about the president. It's today's news, so at 5 p.m., so we'll see. I'll play this one here real quick. Hopefully it'll play. No, it won't play for me for some reason. It should play, though. I don't know why it's not playing, huh? Oh, here it goes. Oh, it should go. Why isn't it going? All right, here it goes.
They abide by federal statutory requirements to protect election records and avoid the intimidation of voters. In that regard, we will publish guidance explaining the civil and criminal statutes that apply to post-election audits. And we will likewise publish guidance with respect to early voting and voting by mail. We will apply the same scrutiny to post-election audits.
All right, he's himself there. Okay. All right, there we go. All right, yeah, so that's good. I mean, you know, this needs to be cleaned up. This doesn't need to be dragged out. This needs to get moving, and I think August maybe that's what they're talking about, something big happening. I announced it, actually, that this is something big in August was going to happen. So
that I gave you in which I implied, remember, the ascension of Gerald Ford to the White House was utterly improbable until it happened. Remember? It took two resignations to get him in the White House, didn't it? Spiro Agnew had to resign, and then Richard Nixon had to resign, and we got Gerald Ford as president. It was utterly improbable, but it happened. Again, predicated upon absolutely determining and revealing that this election was stolen from Donald Trump. That is critical. If that is not done to a near universal consensus, then what I'm about to suggest cannot happen. But if it is, I think overwhelming pressure from voters, the 85 million or so people whom I am convinced voted for Donald Trump, that kind of pressure on people would force Kamala Harris to resign, Biden to appoint Trump as vice president, and then Joe Biden resigns as president, making Donald Trump the president. Every bit of that.
Well, did you read about Fulton County in Georgia? Did you read about Fulton County? Fulton County in Georgia?
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. All these things we're talking about happened in Fulton County.
This is another article on it, actually. There's another article about it. According to CD Media, lawyers representing the voter, voterga.org described major discrepancies. 21%. During the hearing. Wow. So this is insane, but there's another video here for it.
Yeah, that's
so,
what I was saying. Those four election officials in Fulton County swearing under oath that they handled 20,000 to 30,000 fraudulent ballots.
this is insane. I mean, they say if you we don't have elections, if we don't have the any type of elections whatsoever, fair. I mean, there's corruption going on. Then we don't have a country. Basically, that's like we're invaded, you know, by evil, right? I mean, what do we do? I mean, we got to fix this.
Here's the thing. Here's what they reported. Now, Fulton County, Georgia, has a poll manager. She's one of the election officials. Her name is Susie Voiles. She sorted through a large stack of mail-in ballots last November. She says she saw an alarmingly odd pattern of uniformity in the markings for the Biden ballots. One after another, the absentee votes contained perfectly filled-in ovals for Biden, except that each of the darkened bubbles formed an identical white void inside them in the shape of a tiny crescent, indicating they've been marked with toner ink instead of a pen or pencil. Now, adding to these suspicions, she saw that all of the ballots were printed on a different type of stock paper than the others she handles as part of a statewide hand recount of the election. None was folded or creased, as she observed in mail-in ballots that are removed from envelopes. Again, I refer you to the video Ruby Freeman took where she's sitting in front of a stack of pristine mail-in ballots, none of which have creases. They're sitting there in a perfect stack, flat.
Wow.
So see, and we got other poll workers testifying to this. Remember, none of this was heard on the merits after the election, despite the efforts of all these people to get this to be heard in court on the merits. None of this stuff was.
Well, listen to this one right here. This one came out today, too. The IRS is coming for your home and assets, and we should be very afraid. On its webpage, the IRS explains the types of audits it does. Here are some of the points. The goal of an IRS audit is to determine whether the taxpayer reported the substantially correct tax liability. The IRS usually does not review the entire return. Most audits review whether the taxpayer reported all of their income on the return and any other large, unusual, or questionable items found on the tax return. If the IRS suspects an obvious error on the return, it may freeze the taxpayer's refund and audit the return. Other common sources of audits are computer selection based on how much the return has the probability of error. An IRS compliance project, the IRS decides to concentrate audit resources on an issue or type of taxpayer, like a small business, or the taxpayer is selected because they have related transactions to another ongoing audit, like a partner in a partnership. There are three types of audits, the mail correspondence office, desk, and field audit. Both the office and field audits are done face-to-face with the auditor interviewing the taxpayer and or their representative. 75% of all audits are mail audits in which the taxpayer needs to answer IRS questions and provide documents to support the accuracy of their filed tax return. The most common mail audit issue is the earned income tax credit. The mail audit process produces automated letters which can cause problems, tax assessments, lost appeal rights for the taxpayer if they do not respond timely. IRS makes changes in 90% of all audits. The mail audit, we know that a letter from the IRS is never good news. It is generally a notice of impending IRS audit, or it is a bill for additional income tax. Most often, the IRS computer has determined that certain 1099 income, like interest income from a bank, was not reported on your income tax return, and the notice is a bill or the unpaid tax on the unreported income. Sometimes the IRS notice is accurate. We should have included the income on our tax return. In that case, we send the additional tax to the IRS, hope that they file it properly, and we don't get another computer-generated letter demanding payment. Sometimes the IRS is wrong. We did report the income tax on our tax return. In that case, we respond to the notice providing evidence that we did indeed report our income accurately. This should resolve the issue, but often it doesn't. Instead of getting a letter indicating the matter was resolved, we get another notice saying that we owe additional tax and that the IRS will start adding interest and penalties for every month that we don't pay. At that point, we tried in vain to find a telephone number for the IRS where we can reach a real person who will actually talk to us. That's not easy, as it sounds. well, I demonstrated that plenty of times on my podcast here. We eventually give up knowing that the IRS will probably just take the disputed amount from our next refund. All too often, the disputed amount is only a few $100, so out of frustration, we just send them a check to get it over with rather than continuing to fight a losing battle. The coming nightmare. According to the U.S. Treasury's American Families Plan Tax Compliance Agenda, the proposal to increase the IRS funding from $12 billion per year to $20 billion per year will have certain funding in place to make investments with large fixed costs like modernizing information technology, improving data and analytic approaches, and hiring and training agents dedicated to complex enforcement activities. The part of the above quote that will have the most impact on most all of us is modernizing the information technology and improving data analytic approaches. Many in D.C. have dreamed about the IRS having a computer system that can analyze our tax returns and not just identify unreported 1099 income, but also flag returns in which taxpayer has exaggerated deductions, claimed credits they are not entitled, and unreported other income. In 2019, I received a notice that California was going to file a tax lien against me for $12,000 of unpaid California state income taxes. For the year 2011, based on $150,000 income, with penalties, interest, and this amount had grown to $20,000. Few things affect your credit or ability to get financing more than a $20,000 income tax lien. Also, the IRS can always go after you, your other assets, and seize bank accounts or even try to force the sale of your home, all to pay off a tax lien that is not correct. Since we are not in California in 2011 and I was practicing law in Florida, I did not have any income from California Law Corporation. All of my legal income was from Florida clients and not California clients. So he says, I tried to explain to her why the computer was wrong in this case. The year in question was 2011. I had been living in Florida since the late 2006. Wow, they went that far back. I offered to send her the first page of our federal 1040 forms for 2006 through 2018. Those forms show a Florida address. Since you are guilty of a federal crime in your sign your 1040 returns that contain incorrect data, this should be good evidence to show we lived in Florida since the 2007 year here. I offered to send her copies of my Florida driver's license, my Florida registration voter registration card, and a copy of my admission to the Florida bar. She said that if I would send those documents, she would ask her to have the assessment reviewed again, but cautioned me that even after I set a second review, the assessment might still stand because their computer generates the notices. Almost never wrong, and the burden of proof was on me and not them. At that point, she asked me, why didn't I just pass? That was an easy one. I don't owe California that money. I faxed copies of all my documents, and she provided. We heard nothing back and assumed that it was handled. A couple months later, I received a final notice that a lien was being filed against me for non-payment of the tax I owe in California. I explained it all again, and at this time, I convinced her to stay on the line until I had the facts in hand. At that point, she said she would submit everything for another review, but there was no guarantee that the matter would be dropped because we have a high level of confidence in our computer results. By this time, the absurdity of all this was overwhelming, so I told the lady I would make her a great deal if she would get me the $150,000 that I supposedly made in California in 2010, I would give California not the $21,000 they were demanding, but half of it, $75,000 of the $150,000. I would keep the other $75,000. She laughed and then did something that most IRS and FTB employees refuse to do. She gave me her information and her direct number. She said that she was going to get the lien dismissed and close the case. You know, and these are nightmares that the IRS is going to make a lot of people when that goes $1 billion to fund the IRS tax agents. They're going to be coming after you, and because, you know, the IRS, it's a nightmare, man. It's a nightmare, and it's totally unconstitutional, most of it. I mean, it's just It's all fraud, you know? What's up with this fair tax? What do you think of this fair tax thing, Sarge?
The fair tax, I think, is an idea that has long been overdue. But it's highly unlikely to come through because I think both political parties want to use the tax code to reward their allies and punish their enemies. So we're not likely to get meaningful tax reform until we get different type of legislators in office. But as bad as what you just read is, something that's maybe as bad or even worse is this $2.3 trillion infrastructure plan the Biden administration is pushing for. They want local governments to allow apartment buildings in neighborhoods that are now restricted to single-family homes. Now, the administration says they want to ease a national affordable housing shortage and combat racial injustice in the housing market. Now, you know what that's going to mean. They're going to destroy the suburbs, and people who want to move to the suburbs, get away from crowded inner cities with crowded apartment buildings and a lot of crime. What they're going to do is open it up to the possibility of even federal low-income projects in what is now the suburbs, because the whole point is to destroy the suburbs.
Yeah. Yeah, and create division amongst
people. And they're trying to offer, grants, tax credits to cities that change the zoning regulations, but I guarantee you it's going to come with a healthy dose of intimidation and extortion for them to get their way.
Well, I say this, that look, you see things and you say why, but I dream things that say, that never were, and I say why not, I mean, I say let's abolish the IRS, get rid of it. We don't need a collection for the Federal Reserve. I say audit the Federal Reserve and then reassimilate the United States currency and control of the United States currency back to the maybe state treasury departments, or even if he has to have a national thing, the United States Treasury to oversee each state. Something along those lines, and create a currency, a bartering system with competing currencies that people can accept. It up to the states, of course, to vote what currencies they want, that would compete with each other. So this way here, it would never devalue each other's currency because they'd be competing with each other. But you'd have to have regulation, obviously, because then you're going to get capitalism by imperialism and you're going to get a monopoly. You're going to, but you have, like I said, if the states can take control of their own currency with competing currencies, then you can have a healthy, stable economy without inflation and deflation and bubbles and bursts of bubbles, and then have recessions and depressions. You can get rid of all that by doing that. And I'm telling you, it can be done, because that's my idea, actually. And they kind of reflects a lot of Austrian economics, like Ron Paul used to preach about, but he had a different idea going back to, gold and silver backed up by the Constitution says. But that's impossible because the world's resources have been stolen and looted by the bankers, and they're not giving them back, So I think, though, with competing currencies, that would be the best way to go. And then you have a flat tax. Because everyone's got to pay their fair share. Everyone's got to contribute, obviously. And these services provide, they're wasteful. They're wasteful. The money that would be spent, you'd have to get rid of all this wasteful spending. You don't pay $192 for a hammer,
But you got to admit, the tax policy is a weapon in the hands of politicians, to offer either incentives or punishments. And that's the problem with it. It's not really intended to redress the necessary functions of the necessary parts of government. It's long ceased to be that. We've got politicians who literally want to keep tax policy in place so they can manipulate it for their own purposes and agendas.
Correct.
What you're saying is absolutely correct, but we're not going to be able to get rid of it as long as these politicians see some advantage in retaining it for themselves. And their cronies.
That's correct. Let me take another caller here. I recognize the number.
To remind people, before I forget this, I want to remind, it's the birthday of the United States Army, June 14th. The United States Army was established June 14th, 1775, before the Declaration of Independence. So, happy birthday, United States Army.
There you go. All right. That's right. I'd like to know all their birthdays, actually. I don't know that. That's very interesting. But let me take this caller. He's been waiting a while. Go ahead, Connecticut.
Thank you for calling. Understand the times. Who is this and where are you calling from? This is Bitbanker. I'm calling from Meriden, Connecticut. Hi, Bitbanker. How are you? Happy birthday, United States Army. I just want to let you know that we're talking about competing currencies and all that. Russia is on track to back out of using the U.S. dollar, and it's going to incorporate a number of currencies from over in their area to back up their money. That's going to be happening soon.
Yeah, I've heard about that, too. You think that'll affect the devaluation of our dollar? I mean, how much does Russia buy from us as from imports or trade? I mean, I know they're a big oil thing. They got a lot of big oil over there, but, I mean, what else do they? Does anybody know? I mean, how will that affect it, you think? Because the ruble ain't worth nothing.
You know? Yeah, but
I mean, that's probably why they're doing it.
If monkey see, monkey do. If Russia can do it, we can do it,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
that, China does it.
It's going to have a snowball effect. That's what it's going to have.
Yeah. Japan and China and Australia, they do it over there. And Taiwan, I don't think Taiwan would do it. Or North Korea will definitely get on board with that. You know, so then, yeah, we'd be, like you said, monkey see, monkey do. And then Europe, they always want to stick it to the United States. Why, I don't know. You know, so,
yeah.
But, yeah.
I had a number of things I wanted to say, but I've forgotten. So, you know, this is a bad part of the night for me. Between 8 and 9, so I had the phone on and I was listening, but it's only at this time I can actually press 1 and call in. I was listening to Sarge. Sarge is always good. It's nice listening to him. But, you know, if you have people announce their name and where they're calling from, you do away with some of these trolls, too, or the ones that are left anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, we got a bunch of them on the board. I'm just not letting them in because I recognize the numbers. They keep spoofing them, but I recognize them. I got a list here. I look at it. So, you know, private callers, I sometimes only get a few of those, but they try because I could recognize which ones come up on what level they come up on the board. So, like John Doe, he always calls in private caller. Remember, Mike used to always call in private caller before he passed away. And Sarge, he's always pretty much one or two on the top of the list. So. I think it has a memory where it recognizes the number, but I can't see the number. It's private, so it comes up private 1111. So, but it's, you know, higher. So, but I'm not letting them on to ruin the show or good conversation. It's because look, you know, we're on Apple's iTunes and everything. You know, I don't want to be kicked off of platforms because of nonsense. You know, makes no sense.
No, and that's what they want. So as you started off in the beginning, that's what they want because they have nothing better to do with their lives. So. They want to cause chaos and misery for somebody else.
Yeah, that's true. I was looking at old shows from years ago with the captain and remember Rachel and the captain? Remember that one?
I was just thinking about the captain today, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. It was. Remember him? He still does the Friday Night Sports Show, but he doesn't take callers. So, and I remember I did the sports show one year. Remember? We had we did a sports show one year, right? We did the betting where we picked the Super Bowl winner and everything, and then we picked teams every week. You know, it was pretty good. A lot of people called
in. Yeah, I remember.
Did
I do a show on my favorite sport really is kind of a tie between boxing and football. Did I do a show with you about boxing greats and the heavyweight champion? I think we did
years ago. I think we did about 10 years ago or something, or I don't know. It was a long time ago.
we talk about periods of time when boxing was truly great. I mean,
I say roughly
the period between like 1930 and 1995.
Who's your favorite boxer?
Mainly,
who's your favorite boxer? Muhammad Ali. I mean, I was watching a documentary on him when we were kings. That was pretty good with George Foreman. They went and fought down there, the Thriller in Manila there.
One of the underappreciated attributes of Muhammad Ali is his sheer gutty courage. I mean, that man literally, I mean, people may would mock him for being a pretty boy and not one. No. Muhammad Ali had a chin of iron. He literally fought with a broken jaw. In the third round, Ken Norton broke his jaw, and he fought the rest of the fight with a broken jaw.
And Ken Norton is
that
no
man
jump.
Had guts and courage, and I'm telling you, man, that is one thing that is really underappreciated, his unwillingness to quit unless he was dying. He never did get knocked out in the ring. He got TKO'd by Larry Holmes. But nobody else really TKO'd him.
Wow. Larry Holmes, I took a lot of flack for that,
didn't he?
He's
one of the hardest punching heavyweights ever. Sonny Liston was one of the hardest punching heavyweights who ever lived. Let's not even begin to mention George Foreman.
Oh, Lord. George Foreman will outdo Sonny Liston. You ever see George Foreman when he hit that heavy bag? Man, that heavy bag got a dent.
Man, yeah. They said him and Sonny Liston were two of the hardest hitting punchers ever in the history of boxing. Ever.
That's Sarge. What about Tyson?
They said Sonny Liston was impossibly strong. They
what about Mike Tyson,
his feet
Sarge?
Of strength when he was training, and it's almost superhuman.
What about Mike Tyson?
What about Mike?
Same thing with him, but I don't even think Mike Tyson was strong, Sonny Liston. I think Mike Tyson might have had a more ferocious, faster punch, but I don't think Sonny Liston had a great jab too, along with his power. So when it came to boxing skill, he wasn't lacking too much.
Sarge, I have a large number of Tyson videos. If you want to watch them, I'll send them to you.
Oh, yeah, I might, yeah, I got to get a way to get him, but I love watching Tyson, especially in his younger years. God, that man was literally a force of nature. Literally.
Give Joe your address. He'll give it to
me. No. Leaving Customato and Teddy Atlas left him in. That's what did him in. Atlas and Customato had his interests at heart. When Customato died, he got hooked up with Robin Givens, remember?
Yeah,
and it was all downhill from there.
Yeah, the women did him in. The woman did him in, didn't it?
Yep. But that trainer after Customato died, that trainer he had kept on the straight and narrow. Customato was like a father figure for him he never had.
Hey, Tyson beat the hell out of Don King, you know.
I didn't know he beat him, but.
Yeah,
he was
pretty
unstable.
Yeah,
so it wouldn't surprise me who he beat, really. Tyson was definitely unstable. See, guys like Atlas.
Hang on a second here, Sarge. Good banker's got a question for you.
Keep him focused. You know, he needed someone to keep him focused.
Yeah. Banker's got a question for you. I don't know.
You still think Mike Tyson was a dummy? Mike Tyson had all kind of boxing intelligence. He really did. He knew the history of boxing inside and out. I mean, that man could tell you about boxing history, the great box. He could tell you. One of his favorites was Jack Dempsey. He studied the way Jack Dempsey fought because he was short relative to other heavyweights, and he knew he had to fight to get inside. And he studied Dempsey because he saw the way Dempsey did it, and he took a lot of his techniques from Dempsey. He was a great boxing historian. I mean, Tyson.
Yeah. Hey, Sarge, Bitbanker's got a question for you. Go ahead, Bitbanker. Go ahead.
Sarge, I got Tyson from the 87 and 88. Thomas Pinkerton, Tony Tucker, Tyrell Biggs, Larry Holmes, Tony Tubbs, Michael Spinks, and Michael Spinks in the Trump Plaza.
Oh, man, that sounds like a great compendium, yeah. That was Mike Tyson at his peak years, man, really.
Yeah.
He was a joy to watch, man.
Give him your address.
And he was on time. He was a master of skill. I mean, the guy had a unique style, and he was absolutely a paragon of boxing virtues and skills.
How about real quick, though, on this, while we're on this subject, how about, what was the guy's name there? What the heck was his name, man? The guy that was, they made the out of, the Raging Bull. What was his name?
Jake LaMotta.
There you go, Jake LaMotta. What do you think about him? That guy was a psychopath.
Him and Robinson had some of the epic fights of all time. Jake LaMotta was tough and insane. That's what he was.
Yeah.
He was hyper tough and insane, and he wouldn't quit. And I'm telling you, man, you put him up against a matador, he was a bull. Now, Ray Robinson was a matador, and that's why their fights were so great.
Well, you can never say, you know, people always say this. They say, who's the greatest boxer of all time? You can't do that because it goes by division. You know, you can't put a Sugar Ray Leonard up against a Larry Holmes or a Muhammad Ali. You can't do that because Muhammad Ali would kill him in one shot,
why they have weight classes. But you could still compare styles, techniques, abilities, and strengths and weaknesses. And so you can actually say which one was a better fighter, assuming that the weight difference is negated. And you can take a look at these.
Well, you already know that Muhammad Ali and Rocky Marciano would be at the top. They would have to be. That would be the two classes, right? So Marciano was undefeated in his time. Nobody could beat him. And then you have Muhammad Ali, obviously, was the greatest of his time. You know, I mean, there's no doubt about it. You know, so
yeah.
Well,
but obviously,
I'll say those
two different fighters had different strengths and weaknesses. But yes, I would say in the top five heavyweights of all time, they both of them would be in there.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, definitely.
No
most
doubt.
Definitely.
No
Hector
doubt.
Camacho, I used to like him when I was a kid. Ray Boom Boom Mancini.
It's like scissors cuts papers, covers rock. You know what I mean? That's what it is in fighting. One guy, look at what George Foreman did to Joe Frazier. Utterly destroyed him. Look what Muhammad, and then Joe Frazier beat Muhammad Ali. And then Muhammad Ali beat George Frazier. See, that's what I mean. Rock, scissors, paper. You know?
Well, it's that lucky punch.
So you just can't precisely predict these things because there are just so many variables that have to come into play.
That's correct. That's good. Well, you get that one punch, Sarge. I mean, you get that one knockout punch. You walk into it, and bam, it's like, you know, and you're the winner. You know, I mean, you know, it's like, you know, that, but that's what fighting's all about, I guess. You know, that's what it's all
about.
Some
of the potentially greatest fighters that could have been were just totally negated by weak chins. I'll give you a perfect example. Tommy Morrison.
Well, he died of AIDS,
been one of the greats, but he had a weak chin. You catch him, right? His lights out for him.
Oh, he was a beast, too. He was strong. I mean, bodybuilding on
that's
that guy.
I mean,
he
just had a weak chin. See, Muhammad Ali had this great chin. You could catch him just right, and he wouldn't go down.
Remember, hey, you remember when Muhammad Ali fought Lyle Alzado from the football? you remember that?
Oh, yeah, I remember that. It was an exhibition, but, you know, it got out of hand. Lyle Alzado had some boxing. So he was actually able to give him a match because Lyle Alzado had been a champion Golden Glover. So he had some
but Muhammad
skills.
Ali got
like
mad, though.
Was,
he got mad. I watched
he
that.
He wasn't like
Muhammad Ali got mad
or anything. Lyle Alzado could actually box.
Yeah. Too bad
so
he died steroids, though. Just, you know. Steroids, terrible.
Yeah, that was killed. That's what killed him, you know, that most people believe anyway.
You take a drug from Europe that you know nothing about. You order it from Europe, and he gets brain cancer. You got to be, I mean, and he leaves his family behind. How stupid could you be? I mean, you know, they do results on him, but, you know, I mean.
Well, a lot of the dangers
of
steroids weren't quite as widely known as they are now. And even now, people say you can take steroids under the supervision of a doctor. And under the supervision of a doctor, it's still legal. You just can't self-medicate it because it's a Schedule III
drug. Well, I bought a product
last
year. I
forget what it is.
Well, I bought a product last year, and I bought a product last year, and it's called Dominion XT. And I took a couple of them, and then I started doing some research on it, and I said, hell no, this thing hasn't been regulated. They don't know nothing about it. Stop taking it, because after about two to 4 days after taking them, you take two in the morning, two at night, and you're working out. Man, I just started, you know, weird, but it put on – about probably 3 pounds of muscle in that short amount of time.
And
of like,
course, nobody's
going to
tell you that steroids don't work to put on muscle. They do, but if it's not done properly and it's not done under proper medical supervision, they can kill you or they can actually retard your progress in the long run. If you're going to do it, it's got to be done under medical supervision by a doctor who knows what he's doing.
Well, I do the creatine now. I just do creatine cycles. I do that, you know, because creatine, we know, is what it's all about. And then natural stuff, you know, or just protein. Take protein. You need protein
I still hit the iron pretty regularly now. When I was at my peak when I was younger, I was doing three reps for 400 pounds. Now, I can't go that high anymore. But, you know, I eat eggs. I eat a lot of egg whites. I scoop out the yolks. I eat about, you know, five or six egg whites.
Food is the poison in the food, Sarge. The poison in the food is destroying our society, you know, and
which
that's the thing. And people out there don't know about it.
Yohimbe bark.
What's that?
All things in moderation, and moderation in all things, you're going to be okay.
Yeah, well, I don't know. That bark, though, what does that bark do for you? Does it have any side effects that you just mentioned?
It's a tree.
What does
one
do?
Yohimbe bark. I was just looking up this Dominion XT. It,
It's testosterone is what it is. And for testosterone, you can take Yohimbe bark, or women can take horny goat weed.
Oh, okay.
No, yeah. Yeah, I've heard that too.
Well, testosterone.
Yeah, but what do I know,
I never
right?
did take any kind of drugs when I was really powerlifting. I just ate as much protein as I get my hands on. I ate a lot of fish, ate a lot of chicken, ate a lot of eggs. And I thought that was
amino acids.
What'd
you say,
Mitt
Banker?
These aren't drugs.
What do you mean?
Yeah,
drugs,
horny goat
weed
is not drug. I take horny goat weed.
Oh, okay.
You can do that.
Well,
but that's
I don't know. Where could you buy
it for women? You need
where could you buy it at, though?
You can go into your Earth store or whatever it is you got down there.
They don't have it here no more, North Carolina Earth Fair.
Yeah, I've heard about that. I need to start looking into that. Yeah.
Don't take too much, though.
Okay. Well, what is a considered a normal dosage, like in grams or?
Oh, God, I don't know. Listen. They
say for average 195, 200-pound guy.
As far as grams go, you know, you can take – for instance, GABA, butric acid. They say you can take a quarter gram three times a day. Food and everything else. If I take just
breaking up, Bit Banker.
If I take
yeah, break it up.
How's that? Any better?
There you go.
Yeah, well, I got the phone in my pocket. You know, it all has to do with the individual. You can't put any number on it, really, because, like I said, GABA, butyric acid. If I just take a little bit and put a little bit, they say you can take a quarter gram two or three times a day. If I just put a little bit on my pinky and touch my tongue, I get a splitting headache. So I can't take that. So it's hard to say.
Maybe that's not the stuff to use, man. I don't know.
Well, no, that's a natural amino acid.
Well, you're putting something natural, and then your body's got chemicals in it, and that's why you get a headache, right?
Hey, listen,
yeah.
some people got shellfish allergy and peanut allergy.
Yeah. And I mean, that's natural stuff, too. Some people just got allergies to natural substances.
Right. You see, you just don't know. You see, no one knows if cyanide is good for you or bad for you. But what they do know is if you take too much, it'll kill you.
For sure.
Well, that's obvious. You know, that's obvious. Like I said in the beginning of the podcast, everybody is different. Every individual is different. But you can go with a general norm of what works for the mass of general population. Like, for instance, like I said about stretching your muscles and lifting weights. If you're going to stay and as you grow older and stay in shape, you have got to lift weights. You just can't say, I'm active. I run. I
jog. Oh, no doubt about
it. That doesn't
work. I agree with that 1,000%. I don't have any, I'm a senior citizen now. I have no problems with mobility. I can still do splits. I can stretch. And I think it's because all the weight training I've done over decades has helped to make my skeletal structure, my ligaments, my tendons strong. I have absolutely no mobility problem. I don't wake up with back problems or anything.
Good for you. You know, like I was telling you the story, Sarge, in the beginning of the show about the 88-year-old guy that I was working out with in the gym. And you know what killed him? The vaccination. The guy's 88 years old, bench pressing probably 225 pounds. 88 years old. You know, the guy looks good, you know, and he looks like he was about 60, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know,
terrible.
I believe in that myself. I still work out regularly. I go a lot lighter than I used to. I don't try to do those 400-pound benches no more. But I can still do 225, 445-pound plates, and I can still get them up for a rep of 10. And I'm not trying to go any higher than that.
Plates.
I'm not trying to go any higher than that. Huh?
I take those 45, Sarge, and I put one in one hand and one in the other, and I do shoulder shrugs with them. In between my sets, I'm bench pressing.
Well, that's good. Like I said, though, I am definitely going to cut back on the weight I used to use because I ain't taking no chances on wrecking something and then not being able to recover from it.
That's true, Sarge. That's true, yeah. Well, you know, that's absolutely true. Well,
I had a guy I was working with. In fact, he was an officer. We would work out after work,
And, you know, he got, by the way, he got arrested for corruption and got sent to jail.
Oh, boy.
When he was my best workout partner ever, because he would scream at me and say, "You're going to be a beast. I'm going to make you a beast. You can do two more reps no matter what." He'd scream at me. He always managed to get it out of me, and thanks to him, I was at my peak strength and as strong as I ever have been with that guy. He really pushed me beyond what I thought my limits were. But then again, I was a lot younger. I ain't going to try to do that shit now. No way. I'll wreck something.
Well, two callers jumped off the line there. So anybody else who wants to jump in here, press 1. We've got a little bit of time here. Press 1 now, unscreened, uncensored, 657-383-0616. You don't have to talk about weightlifting. You can talk about anything you want. We talked about everything on this show tonight, mainly the politics, you know, legislative laws and how to restore our currency and how to, you know, our bartering system and, you know, eliminate the Federal Reserve banking cartel. So we did talk about that. So anybody recapping there, new callers that called in. But if nobody presses 1 and wants to get on here, I'll leave it up to BitBanker. You got anything you want to say? And then, Sarge, you wrap us up. BitBanker, you want to say anything real quick?
No, I was just actually looking up the GABA amino butyric acid since I was talking about it. You know, it helps your sleep and everything like that. And they say you can take 3/4 of a gram at a time. And like I said, I wasn't taking 1/10 of a gram, and I couldn't handle it. So it all has to do with the individual. No, but it was a good show tonight. Nice and calm. Good information from Sarge and you. And that's all I have to say. Everybody have a good evening.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Nice talking
to
you, boss. Good talking to you. Yeah, I'd like to say this. Like I said, it's the birth of my favorite organization ever, the United States Army, June 14th, 1775. And, I'd like to remind people that that outfit is in trouble today. It's like the entire armed force is in trouble today from these radicals who want to completely restructure it, destroy its traditions, its values, and the ethos that makes it combat efficient and battle ready. And we in the civilian sector owe it to them to prevent that from happening. So I would hope everybody raises their voices about this new woke-topia and the woke-topians who are trying to wreck the finest fighting forces in the world.
Well, Sarge, that's a good closing. You know what? We got to play something then that dedicates it to the military then. Some people get offended by it, but, hey, this is how they used to yell at you in the Army, you know.
Tonight, your kids will sleep with your rifle. They will give your rifle a girl's name. Because this is the only pussy you people are going to get. Your days of finger-banging old Mary Jane Rottencrotch through her pretty pink panties are over. You're married to this piece, this weapon of iron and wood, and you will be faithful.
How tall are you, Private?
Sir, 5'9", sir!
5'9"? I didn't know they stacked shit that high. You trying to squeeze an inch in on me somewhere, huh?
Sir, no, sir!
Bullshit, it looks to me like the best part of you ran down the crack of your mama's ass and ended up as a brown stain on the mattress. I think you've been cheated.
Where in hell are you from anyway, Private?
Sir, Texas, sir!
Holy dog shit, Texas, only steers and queers come from Texas, Private Cowboy. And you don't much look like a steer to me, so that kind of narrows it down. Do you suck dicks?
Sir, no, sir!
Are you a Peter Puffer?
Sir, no, sir!
I bet you're the kind of guy that would fuck a person in the ass and not even have the goddamn common courtesy to give him a reach around. I'll be watching you.
All right, everybody. Sorry about that if you're offended, but the way it goes.
God save the Republic. Our fathers appealed to heaven. What did heaven do? Heaven heard. Heaven heard. Our fathers said they would treat all men equal. When they did not, heaven saw. Heaven saw. Our fathers fought each other and paid a great price. Father Abe kept the Union, but not the Republic. We forgot the Republic and placed our trust in man and suffer oppression. We appeal to heaven. What did heaven do? Heaven heard. Heaven heard. God save the Republic.